Imagine you're looking at a balancing scale with everything you do for other people on one side and everything you do for yourself on the other side. If it isn't balanced, maybe it's time to spend a little more time on you. And therapy is a great place to start. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can help you find that balance and stick to it. Visit betterhelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
T-Mobile's network can help keep you connected to all your favorite podcasts when you're out and about. Whether you're an early bird looking to dive into a daily news podcast or a night owl who wants to catch up on the latest reality TV drama, T-Mobile will keep you connected on their strong and reliable network. T-Mobile covers more highway miles with 5G than anyone. So if you need great coverage, especially when you're on the go, check out T-Mobile. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/CY. That's SEEWHY.
We are pleased to welcome Steve Hewitt of the Boston Herald. Long day for him, but a lot to write about. Never a dull moment when it comes to the NBA, and certainly not the Celtics and the roller coaster ride of the last year. But let's start with the obvious, Steve. What the heck happened in Boston on Sunday afternoon?
Jason Tatum happened. That's kind of what happened, right? It was epic. It was historic. It was dominant. He was just unstoppable. And you could kind of see it in the early going, like coming off that game six game in Philly. He obviously hit those four threes at the end to sort of will them to win. And I think that sort of the momentum carried over to today for sure. He seemed relaxed. He spoke about this today after the game, just how he was a little too locked in game six. And that's what sort of led to his shooting woes to start that game. And he came in today, like, just super relaxed. He just kind of came back to his roots. He was having fun. And he was aggressive starting the game. He was attacking the basket. He was getting to the free throw line. And I think that's sort of just that momentum just kept building. And then sort of he unleashed in that third quarter. He started getting into that rhythm. The defense was spectacular. They held the Sixers to 10 points in the third quarter, which is just insane. And Mazzulla talks about it all the time. The defense sort of translates into offense when they get into transition and get into easy baskets. And Tatum was sort of the beneficiary today, and he just got into one of those zones, and they blew the doors off of the Sixers. It was certainly a sight to see.
You know, it's interesting, Steve. I was thinking back to the end of their last game in Boston, which would have been game five, when Tatum was talking about hearing boos from the crowd at the Garden, and the complete and total 180 that's done in the few days between the end of that game and the end of game seven in the series.
And he's hearing MVP chants, cheers throughout the game. Like, I've never heard the Garden like that in my time covering the Celtics the last decade or so. I've been covering this team. I've been to a lot of Celtics playoff games in the last five, ten years, and I've never quite heard it like today. But you're right, yeah, total 180 from Tuesday when the energy was just sort of flat to start the game, and the Celtics never really gave the fans a reason to get into the game. And their effort sort of warranted that booing. And then just from the tip off, like, the energy was just through the roof, and Tatum gave them every reason to get those MVP chants and those cheers all afternoon.
Most points ever in an NBA playoff game seven, which is phenomenal. About the crowd, how much do you think that has to do with Jaylen Brown exhorting the crowd or calling out the crowd after game number six? He specifically said he was going to call out Celtics fans.
Yeah, I think that did have a factor. Even like before the game started, I get into my seat maybe like 20, 25 minutes before tip off usually. And that I could just kind of tell walking to my seat, like, oh, this kind of feels different today. And they were showing players on the Jumbotron, and they showed Tatum, and the place would erupt. And this is like 20 minutes before the intros and the national anthem and everything. Like, people were just like so locked in and sort of juiced up for the game. And they're doing the countdown to tip off, and they actually show the video of Jalen from from after game six, saying the energy in the Garden's been okay at best, and we need the Garden to be rocking tonight, and that's that turned the dial up too with the crowd when they saw that, and it was warranted. What Jalen said was like totally right. Like the energy's sort of been it has been low to start the playoffs. Game five, like I said, I get to my seat before tip-off, and there were a lot of empty seats in there.
Huh.
Yeah, it was sort of a late-arriving crowd. It was a day, Tuesday, and the energy just kind of wasn't there. The vibes were just a little off. I can't really put my finger on sort of why. It's just kind of something that happens, I guess, in the course of these playoff runs, and I don't know if the fans sort of get bored or just kind of take these games for granted. But when you have a game seven in Boston, and obviously Jalen called them out, that definitely helps. But game seven in Boston on a Sunday afternoon, you're going to get Boston's best, and you definitely got that today.
And happy Mother's Day for the moms as well. It was kind of cool to see Jason's mom on screen a bunch, at least watching on TV. We're spending a few minutes with Steve Hewitt, who covers the Celtics for the Boston Herald, with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. I would love to know actually the reaction of Jason's teammates to the performance he put on. It was, as you point out, the complete opposite of the first three quarters from game number six.
My favorite quote post game was Marcus Smart was asked what it's like to see Tatum going in the zone that he was, and he's just like, it's like a movie. You just kind of want to sit, and even if you're on the court, you want to like sort of sit to the side and get some popcorn out. That's what he said, and that's kind of just what it was like. He just took over. Jalen Brown was like, just get up out of the way. Like when Tatum's in that sort of zone, you just get out of the way and let him take over, which is what he did, obviously. And he really leaned on his teammates, especially through those game six struggles. They were always in his ear. Marcus always telling him, like, you're one of the best players in the world. Like, even Mazzulla is telling him, I love you. That's like his thing with all the players. When he gets asked, what do you say to Tatum when he's going through his struggles? I love you. And sort of this empowerment and tough love that they give each other and everything. You just saw sort of the fruits of their labor today. Like, there wasn't going to be anything stopping him today. And they loved every second of it. Al Horford was talking about how he's super proud, and he's been with him for 4 or 5 years now, just kind of seeing how Tatum's developed over the course of his career, and how he's matured and is ready for these kinds of moments. And he proved all of them right today, for sure.
And Tatum, one of just three Celtics in double figures, so a little bit different because he dominated the offense. However, it wasn't just offense, defense as well. The Sixers don't even hit 30 points in any of the quarters on Sunday, and only 10 points. I'm not sure I've ever seen an NBA team in the playoffs manage just 10 points in a single quarter. It was so lopsided. So what did they have to say about the defensive effort, which maybe has been spotty to start these playoffs at times?
Yeah, you talk about the 10 points. They also limited the Sixers to 13 in the fourth quarter of game six.
Right.
And Tatum outscored the Sixers by himself in both those quarters, both the fourth of game six and the third of today in game seven. It's crazy. Like, the Sixers have had one of the best offenses in the NBA this year. I think they were ranked third. And the Celtics had three of their best defensive performances this series. They held them to under 90 points three times, two of them in back-to-back games here at 6 and 7. I think the big change has been what Mazzulla did before game six when they were down 3-2. Sort of a bold move by changing the lineup up, but it kind of worked. He put Robert Williams in the starting lineup for Derek White, sort of remaking the NBA Finals, the lineup that made the NBA Finals last year and started pretty much every game together, and was one of the best defenses in the league, the best defense in the league, that played a huge factor. You saw Embiid today, just 15 points, 5 of 18 shooting. He was all out of sorts. He had a few shot clock violations where he's shooting these like long range threes. It's like, what is going on here? but the Celtics just really, I think that switched back to Rob really allowed them to sort of become more connected and more comfortable defensively. Al Horford, Marcus Smart talking after game six about just how happy they were to see Robert back in the starting lineup, how proud they were to see that, because that sort of gives them the energy they need on defense, because he sort of acts as sort of the security blanket on that back line, where Al Horford can be a little more aggressive with Joel Embiid and put a little more ball pressure on him, knowing that he has Rob behind him. Marcus Smart can sort of gamble a little more and be more aggressive on the guards on the perimeter. And I think that had a huge effect on James Harden too, and their shooters weren't hitting shots, and it just sort of threw the Sixers offense out of sorts, and they were throwing all these coverages at Embiid. And it was just sort of the perfect storm. So credit that adjustment to starting Robert Williams again, which looks like it will probably continue to stay throughout their remaining playoff run. The defense definitely won that game in game six, and it was a huge part of why they won today, for sure.
Steve Hewitt is with us from the Boston Herald following this game seven in Boston, which turned out to be a coronation in the final quarter and a half. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Thinking back to Ime Udoka and the changes that he made on defense that really spurred the Celtics' run to the East Finals and then the NBA Finals a year ago. Mm-hmm. When Joe took over and over the course of the season, how have you seen him grow into this role? Why is he the right guy for the job?
It's an interesting dynamic. Obviously, first-year head coach, taking on a team of championship expectations, guys that have been to the finals already. And he was sort of just a second row assistant. He wasn't even one of like the top assistants,
right?
For Udoka, kind of thrown into the fire. And he's taken a lot of heat, the last few weeks. Obviously the Marcus Smart comment the other day got some headlines when he said he's been getting killed, and rightfully so, Marcus Smart said, which sort of raised eyebrows all along. But, I kind of go back to day one when Mazzulla was getting introduced, and he spoke about how he was sort of going to fit in and sort of bring these guys along. And he always talked about sort of a collaboration effort between the coaching staff and the players, where he's sort of just empowering the players, not to make like the final decisions, to sort of have that back and forth dialogue, that open communication and trust together to make decisions. Which I think was, they haven't said bluntly, but like the players didn't go to Mazzulla asking for that change for Rob, but there was sort of that open dialogue in the back and forth to sort of make those kinds of decisions. And Mazzulla's going into his first year, and he doesn't know everything. You don't know what you don't know in your first year, right? And these guys, he's sort of been humble enough, I guess, is the word, to sort of take a step back and let guys like Marcus Smart or Al Horford, who's actually older than Mazzulla, he's like 2 or 3 years older than him, because they've been in the league for 10, 15 years.
And right.
They've seen it all. They've been to the finals together. They know what it takes to get there. So if you're Mazzulla, like, why not sort of take that step back, know that you don't know everything, and not let players make decisions for you, but have that back and forth dialogue and getting through these difficult moments in the playoffs. Like, Mazzulla knows he's not perfect. There's that timeout call at the end of the overtime loss in game four that he sort of admitted the next day, like, that was a mistake. I go back to the Hawks series and that game five that they blew in the final minutes. He took the blame for that, knowing that the offensive execution sort of waned down the stretch, and he blamed himself for that. He's sort of just grown over the course of the year, and the players have just kind of been there to help him. And so it's been this sort of interesting dynamic between the players and the coach that you don't see everywhere, but it sort of has worked. And they made it to the Eastern Conference Finals doing it. So you can't really argue it at this point, I guess.
Now, thinking back, though, over the last year of covering the Celtics, they're back where they were a year ago in the East Finals. How would you describe the year that has been for the Celtics? A few words that you would use to describe what it's been like.
Sort of expected, I guess. They came into the season as championship favorites, and they're sort of right back where they should be. It hasn't gone exactly how you would draw it up. Obviously, you couldn't expect Udoka to be suspended for the year like he was, and they talked about how that sort of affected the locker room. Like, they had to sort of push through that at the beginning of the season. They loved Udoka. They were a little confused about sort of why that happened, and they were public about that. And then you had the Robert Williams situation where he missed the first 29 games of the season with knee surgery. So they had to go through some adversity, sort of unexpected adversity, to get back to where they are, but they're here. And the Heat really aren't that, like, your typical, obviously, 8 seed. Like, they've been to the NBA Finals, and 3 years ago, they have one of the best stars in the league in Jimmy Butler. These guys are mentally tough. And I think it's going to take sort of another level of mental toughness for the Celtics to get by them. You've seen them sort of have those lapses in the first couple of rounds, whether it's dropping game 5 to the Hawks when they shouldn't have lost that game, game 1 to the Sixers when they didn't have Embiid, and they dropped a few games in the Sixers series that they shouldn't have got. It should have probably been a 5 or 6 game series at most. But the Heat are going to challenge them. Like, Eric Spoelstra is one of the best coaches in the NBA. He's proven that over the last 10, 13 years that he's been there. And that's going to be another challenge for Mazzulla. Like, can he out-coach another experienced coach? He just went through Doc. Quinn Snyder with Atlanta was a challenge, too. So that'll be an interesting dynamic, too. But at the end of the day, I think the Celtics are deeper than the Heat are. They sort of really focus on that in the offseason with the addition of Malcolm Brogdon. They have now Derek White coming off the bench. And even if you flip-flop him and Rob, like, Rob would have been is obviously a huge asset off the bench. Obviously, Jimmy has been sort of carrying the Heat
right
through the first couple of rounds, but the Celtics' top-end talent is obviously much better. It's going to take some mental toughness because the Heat have been here before, and they're not going to be scared of the Celtics.
Yeah, they are definitely a tough out. 3 of the last 4 Eastern Conference Finals for Miami, and the opener of that series in Boston on Wednesday evening. That's game number 1, so Celtics maintaining that home court advantage. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Steve Hewitt of the Boston Herald covered game 7. But before I let you go, happy to see on your Twitter, Steve, that you just completed the Boston Marathon, a personal achievement that I am in awe of. What was that experience like for you?
I don't even know how to describe that, honestly. It was super incredible. One of the most special days of my life. It actually was my 4th Boston, but this one was more special just because I was running for the Martin Richard Foundation, which, for those people who don't know, Martin Richard was the 8-year-old boy who was one of the victims of the Boston Marathon bombings back in 2013. But my first Boston Marathon was in 2018. I ran for their foundation and sort of continued on. I stayed involved with the foundation. This year, they invited 50 or 60 of us back for a 10-year anniversary team.
Wow.
of the Boston bombings. It's something I couldn't say no to. I've become pretty close with their family and just in awe of their resilience of going through such an unimaginable tragedy to become sort of a positive light for the city and all the impact and change they've made for the city over the last 10 years. So it was an incredible honor to run for them again on such a special day. It was a perfect weather day too. Like the stars sort of perfectly aligned with that. I haven't had great luck with weather with the marathons before in past years. So that was super special. I got to run side by side next to one of my best friends and teammates on the team for the entire 26 miles, which for
wow.
people who run marathons, like it's kind of hard to stick with your friends for a full 26.2 because stuff just happens during the marathon. And it's hard to sort of stay with certain people at a pace for that long. But that made it extra special. I got to cross the finish line holding her hand and waving to the crowd and everything. Special day, something I'll absolutely never forget.
Congratulations. Amazing. And
you
can check out the photo of Steve's gigantic smile at the finish line on his Twitter, which is at Steve_Hewitt. Is the Celtics beat writer for the Boston Herald. Covered game 7 and that atmosphere that was electric at the Garden. Congratulations again. Thank you so much for a couple
Thank
of
you.
Minutes. We loved having you on the show.
Thank you, Amy. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Attention listeners.
I'm pleased to announce that Radio Rental is returning for another installment of Terrifying Tales. If you happen to be new here, I'm Terry Carnation, current proprietor of the Radio Rental Video Store, where I possess a collection of the scariest true stories you've ever heard, all told by real people. Mark your calendars for, oh, apparently it's available right now. I'm a little late with this promo.
Listen for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.